The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with Mastercard.
Now, my next guest is an author and actor who's just released his first book. He's had many roles in television, film and theatre, and after spending years as an actor, he decided to put pen to paper and write a memoir. His remarkable story tells of how he and his partner abandoned city life to embrace something completely new in rural Ireland. And the book is called In Sight of Yellow Mountain, A Year in the Irish Countryside. And I'm delighted to say that Philip Judge is with me in studio. Good morning, Philip, and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Great to be here.
You were a city slicker. There's no sort of denying it.
Absolutely. I lived all my life in cities. Dublin as a boy. Then I moved to an industrial city in the north of England when my mother remarried an Englishman. Then university in the south of England. Then London, which is where every aspiring actor in England at any rate starts their career. And in my mid-30s, I came back to Dublin to reconnect with home. And I did a play, actually, Dancing at Lunasa in the West End, which introduced me to a lot of Irish actors, and it was an Irish production. I took over from the original cast at the Garrick Theatre, but it reconnected me.
And you were saying
culturally.
That you had to kind of pretend you were more Irish than you really were.
Well, I mean, my 20s, you know, any casting session, inevitably people pigeonhole you in some respect. You're an Irish actor, I am indeed, yeah. But so what have you done at the Abbey or the Gate? And I quickly changed the subject to the wallpaper because I hadn't lived in Dublin since I was a boy, you know. And I suspect that performing songs for my granny in Glasnevin didn't really count as work on the Irish stage. So I became adroit at changing the subject. But I did Lunasa, and that sort of brought me back indirectly to Ireland. And of course, that set of Lunasa was a country cottage surrounded by the swathes of golden corn at the harvest time, at Lunasa now, you know. And about 10 years after that, I found myself buying the actual... I mean, I lived in Dublin all those years. But of course, myself and my partner couldn't afford to buy in Dublin at the time. The Celtic Tiger was roaring, and I sort of ended up living in Wicklow largely by accident. You know,
This Wicklow house that you bought was supposed to be kind of the holiday, the weekend.
That was the intention.
Yeah.
Myself and my partner, who also works in the arts, you know, we thought we couldn't leave the city. This is the heart and, you know, the rattle and throb of the arts is in the capital. So, but we couldn't afford to buy in the capital. We rented a tiny flat in town. It was a box, but it was great and it was central. And we did some sums and realised that at that stage the Celtic Tiger bubble hadn't quite spread quite as far south as the depths of Wicklow where we are. And we realised there was an appreciable drop in price, and we figured we could buy somewhere, get onto the property market, which seemed to be...
You could buy this bolt hole...
And
this
maybe spend weekends there, but live in the city.
Yeah, and that's what you did.
And that's what we did for some years. But gradually
the bank
central
more or less threw the money at you.
Well, of course, lenders were getting a bit reckless. Despite our dodgy professions, they agreed. And we went to look at this place thinking, you know, it'd be months before we got an offer in and anywhere and wouldn't be accepted. And we made an offer, sort of a speculative one, and was accepted instantly. And
suddenly you're homeowners.
And suddenly it was like they had spent longer choosing a tie or a suit or a pair of shoes and I'd bought a house, you know. But gradually the centre of gravity shifted. We had our boys and then the crash happened. And of course, that squeezed everyone. And
like so to pay rent in Dublin,
it became
and
infeasible.
Own the house,
so we kept the house and moved.
That.
So, but it was a gradual and almost accidental process. But I've absolutely loved it. And
but your first nights down in County Wicklow, a city boy, one imagines
I couldn't sleep.
You're falling asleep though to silence, and it's wonderful, and the peace that eluded you in the city.
Yeah, not at all. The racket of the country nights was quite astonishing. You know, cattle. Lowing, bulls bellowing, you know, foxes screeching like banshees.
I've heard that. It is quite chilling.
It's quite
the first
scary.
Time you hear
the first
it,
time you hear it, you don't know what it is. You really panic, you know. You know, and trees, you know, making an incredible amount of noise in the lightest breeze.
Voles,
you know,
copulating. Voles now, copulating. What sort of a sound is that?
High-pitched squeaks. That's what I ascribed it to anyway. It certainly wasn't the fox. You know, if a fox got into the fold of neighbouring sheep, the bleating. So I couldn't sleep at all for weeks when we first moved there. The racket of the country was quite astonishing.
And then you adjust.
You
slowly
do.
But surely.
Of course.
You adjust.
Gradually.
Had you any country ways about you at all before you arrived in Wicklow?
No. I mean, I knew of the country, of course. You know, when I lived in London, I had a good friend who... his parents had a little cottage down in Devon, which is a beautiful part of the English countryside. And I'd go for weekends, and it was all very delicious and nice. But I, you know, what did you do in the country except have your inappropriate footwear sniggered at by the locals? And then you go back to London, where life actually went on, you know. And I enjoyed the country, but you know, it was just a place where one went for short breaks and then got back to town, you know.
Now, you decided, or maybe it was just a process of osmosis, but that you wanted to be of your own community. You weren't going to be you know, someone apart. But that means you have to win the trust, the approval, the approbation of your new neighbours.
Entirely. You just have to join in. You have to engage with the community. You know, I ended up getting... I played a little bit of Gaelic football when I was a boy in Dublin, but, you know, not played in England, of course. So my knowledge of the game was very limited. When our boys were a certain age, they'd been playing a little bit on the fair green in the village, you know, and there was an AGM of the GAA meeting, and my beloved said, "Why don't you go?" And I said, "Why would I go? I don't understand the rules." She said, "Go, your boys play, join in." So I went. It was in the local pub in the village, so I thought, well, a harmless pint won't hurt, you know. So the next morning when she woke up, she said, "So, are you on the committee?" I said, "I'm vice chairman, actually." I was she laughed for a week, you know.
One meeting.
Yeah. They saw me coming, and they promised me it was a ceremonial role. I wouldn't have to do much. But I joined in with that, and then we had a dance competition to raise money for the GAA. I joined in that, you know. Finio was an actor and realised, or suspected, I didn't mind making an ass of myself in public, so I got roped into that. You have to join in, you have to engage with the community, otherwise you're just an interloper, really.
Yeah. And your agricultural skills, they had to be honed a bit.
They've improved somewhat. I mean, we've got some very good friends up the hill from us who farm in front, behind and above us, cattle mainly, some sheep as well. And one year, my friend asked me if I'd help him, you know, being stockman for the day, help herding a little for him. And I agreed because I had the perfect outfit, I thought. One of those stockman coats, you know, the sort of waxed floor-length Australian things, dry-as-a-bone thing. Bought it when I was a young man in London, thought I looked darkly cool. But I thought I had the very garment and that'll do, you know. And when I arrived at the farm, he said, "I hope you don't mind your coat being, you know, crapped upon." No, that hadn't occurred to me that I'd actually, you know.
Because it was down to the ground, the coat.
Oh, right, down to the ground, yeah. But I was wrestling with cattle and kicked hard by one. No, my stockman skills were limited, but they've improved. And I've learned to grow my own vegetables and deal with the pests and the problems that ensues from that.
And you've learned to castrate.
Well, I did actually. We did actually. I was called upon to do that job. We were bringing on some lambs ourselves, but of course, at a certain stage, they were ram lambs, and I hadn't realised that at a certain stage the testosterone kicks in and it affects the flavour of the meat. So castration had to be done, and I felt that I should really do anything that needed to be done. I should do it myself rather than just get someone else to do it. Unfortunately, I got the call the morning after some friends from Dublin had been down, so it had been a late night and a bit of wassailing. So I was concerned that I'd hang on to my breakfast, you know, long enough to do. Actually, it's not as graphic as you think. There's a thing called a birdizzo, which is it's very precisely calibrated and just snips certain tubes rather than removing big gobbets of bloody flesh. So it's
okay,
a lot
less
graphic.
And then the testicles kind of
they just wither away, exactly.
And
it's quite harmless, and the ram sits there and goes, and they get up and walk away. They're... Quite. I don't think I had any idea what had just been done.
There's
to them.
Many a woman listening now wishes she could do the same to your man.
I shouldn't have described the implement so precisely. They'll know what to look for in the shops. Yeah.
Now, did you manage to keep on your artistic pursuits while you're living in?
Oh, indeed. And that's been key. I mean, of course, it's slightly different. You do fall off the radar somewhat. I mean, I've got many jobs over the years because I know I've got them because I've bumped into the director at exactly the right time, and you jog the memory. So inevitably, living in the country, but your priorities shift. I mean, some years ago, I was nominated for Best Actor in the Irish Times Theatre Awards. I didn't win, and I was disappointed for half an hour. That August at the county show, my chutney came nowhere, and I was disappointed for weeks. You know, so I realised my priorities have changed. But no, I still work away. I'm about to start rehearsing a production of King Lear shortly, playing Lear. So I'm thrilled about that. And I work when I can, you know. But it's a balancing act.
And do you find that being out of the city milieu impacts on that? Or does it matter anymore? I mean, how many of the actors who populate the stages of the Gate or the Abbey Theatre can afford to live in the centre of Dublin anymore?
Well, that's a big factor. I mean, it's starting again. The prices have just rocketed again. And a lot of young actors, certainly, I know, are squeezed. And I think it can affect you. You know, as I said, you need to be in the public eye for directors to think about you. There's a lot of actors chasing a limited amount of work. So if you're in the city, you're more likely to be round and about and jog people's memories. So there is a trade-off, but it's a trade-off I'm happy with. I've found great happiness living in the country.
And how do the boys take to this life? I mean, they've known little else.
They've known nothing else. I mean, they come to the city from time to time. They've seen me on stage. They've seen their mother do work on stage as well. So they come up to the city for a little jaunt, and they're with me today, sitting on the other side of the glass in the studio. They're on holiday at the moment. And they like the city, but I think country life for children is different to how it used to be. I mean, there's the internet, there's the web. Yeah. You know, it doesn't mean isolation. You know, you can live in the country and have the quality of life that the country brings.
That's the question I was going to ask you. It's different in the sense of access to all the lot of the things. And I mean, there is even a homogenization of accent around the country. If you're from Cavan or you're from Galway or from Dublin, it's all beginning to sound the same. Whether there's the Wicklow accent, I don't know, and the boys. I'll find out because they're outside the glass.
That's an interesting point. And I think you're probably right. I mean, I think older people, there's a very distinct local loss and however people speak. But I think that's a very good point, actually. I'd not really thought about that before. Yeah. There is a homogenization, and the web is everywhere, you know. So,
Leaving all of that aside, is the quality of life superior to that could be on offer?
Well, I don't want to sound like a smug sort of born-again, countryman, because, I'm not entirely born-again. But I find it so. I mean, you know, surrounded by fresh air, surrounded by open vistas of hills and valleys, and the book is called Inside of Yellow Mountain. It's the Slieve Bui, the Yellow Mountain, is across the valley from us, and I see it every morning, and it's almost like it become a character in my life. You know, the different colour it is at different times of the year, whether it's visible depending on the weather. You know, mostly it isn't. It's coagulated masses of clouds.
You also had a health scare some years ago. Did that change everything for you?
Well, it wasn't a sort of Damascene moment where I suddenly realised I wanted to change my life. But yes, I was very sick in the year 2000, in fact. And I was doing a show at the Gate and I was not feeling well. And the theatre doctor came to see me and said, there's something going on here. And I was seen the next day by a top gastroenterologist and was admitted emergency, and I had to pull out of the show, and I was in hospital for 2 months, and I lost about 4.5 stone and I had major surgery, and apparently, I didn't know at the time, but afterwards was told I'd nearly died on 2 occasions. I didn't, and the health scares behind me and the fabulous staff at Tallaght Hospital fixed me. But I suppose gradually, subsequent to that, you just have a sense of slight reordering of priorities, and you know, and I suppose at play there is a certain degree of, it's largely subconscious, but sometimes I suppose I feel a gratitude for this extra time which I may not have had, and I want to do it and spend it properly. And it was subsequent to that myself and my beloved settled down. It was subsequent to that I became a father, which is, I think, the most important thing I've done in my life. And I love my life concentrating on this little acre where I grow my own vegetables and tend my boys.
A final question. Have your neighbours read the book, and what do they think?
I know farmer friends have up the hill. They have, and they are saying all the right things. But as yet, I don't think I'm anything more than a flash in the pan in that sense in the village. But we'll see.
Well, the book is a great read. It's called In Sight of Yellow Mountain, A Year in the Irish Countryside. It's published by Gillam Macmillan. It's out now, priced around €15. And its author, actor Philip Judge, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
It's been a pleasure, Pat. Thank you.